Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
A couple of unfortunate errors by me. Unfortunately, bounced off my stick in the net, and that's hockey. So you're going to hopefully get those back at some point. But for us, definitely easily a winnable game. I feel like we did everything right. Just didn't come out with it.
Look, the Avalanche are a superior team to the St. Louis Blues, but I got a little bit of respect for the Blues. A little bit of respect to the Blues, because whereas everybody else in the Western Conference pees down their leg at the mere sight of the Avalanche, at least the Blues show a little bit of fight. You know, they showed it during the playoffs last year as the Avs cruised to the Western Conference championship. The Blues were the only team to put up any kind of resistance, and they proved that they're not good enough, but at least they've got the mentality to go up against the Avs as they came in last night and beat them 3-2 at the sack.
Yeah, they're not intimidated, and we know that the Avs are a better team. I mean, they proved it. Didn't they sweep them last year? Did they sweep them or did they lose one in that playoff series? I can't remember.
No, they Blues beat them twice.
Blues beat them twice?
Yeah.
You did say last year that was the one.
That was the one
about.
Team that would give them some trouble.
Yeah, I mean they're not intimidated. They have a scheme and a system and 47 stops or no 45 40.
Bennington made 45 saves.
45 saves. So hey, listen, man, Avs are the least of our issues here in the Mile High City.
Least.
Like they're like I don't again. Wake me up in March. Like that's when. I mean, obviously you just kind of you just. Kind of waiting for everybody to get back and for them to kind of have that pressure on them.
Yeah, I'm waiting for two things with them. One, just make sure that guys come back and they're healthy. Get Val back healthy. Get Gabe back healthy. And then watch to see how some of the younger players do. And does that add some intrigue to the idea of what they might look to go out and acquire later on the season? Those, to me, are really the only two big regular season storylines.
Right.
Next in four down.
Second down.
There's always a concern. You never want to see your quarterback get hit. So I think that's always something, you know, I hate when he gets hit. But I know that he's doing everything he can out there to try to make a play. You know, he wants to do everything he can from that. And I would tell you, I don't think it's necessarily one thing. I don't think it was just the offensive line. I think it's us as a collective group. And that's why we have to evaluate everything from the guys that are out there to the coaches to all of us to be sure that we get the best schemes possible.
So when we see the quarterback get sacked six times, we see the quarterback get hit 18 times, most of us tend to just say, oh, offensive line stinks.
Mm-hmm.
But then you offensive linemen like to perk up and go, hey, it's not on all of us. At least half those sacks are on the quarterback. Da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
So you've had a chance to start breaking down the film. Telestrator Tuesday. When it comes to the sacks and when it comes to the hits on Russ, is there a 50-50 split here, or is one side to blame more than the other for all those sacks and hits?
I would put more of that on coaching.
Still on coaching.
Yeah.
Not on the players, not on the quarterback. Not on the O-line, not on the quarterback.
No, well, let me ask you a question, Mike. All right. When you've got a third-team offensive tackle and a third-team center and, you know, a young guard and a second-team left tackle playing, like whose job is it to mitigate potential disaster? I'll ask you that. Whose job is that?
Coach.
Yeah. Do you think you can hold up in those situations? Honestly, do you think you can hold up?
Unlikely. Especially when your starting offensive line wasn't great shakes anyway.
And then when you're always in, I don't know how many third and longs they had last week. I'm just going by, you know, the film I studied yesterday, but it seemed like there were a lot of third down and seven plus situations, right? Didn't that seem that way?
They're constantly in third and long.
They're
constantly.
So you're not producing on first down. You're not producing on second down. You're putting yourself in third down and long situations with a bunch of backup players, right? You threw it 42 freaking times with a bunch of third teamers out there.
What do you expect, right?
And then you're running a bunch, because you're in third down and long situations, you're running a bunch of deep route combinations with no early answers. You tell me what's going to happen. If put a guy in a position to fail, don't be surprised when that guy fails. That's on coaching. Anytime you give up 6-7 sacks, your coaching sucks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Like, I've been in that position. I know what it is to play in those situations. I know what it is to play for a coaching staff that's a little like in the deep end right now, trying to keep their head above the water. Nothing good happens in the deep end. You need to stay in the shallows, especially when you got a bunch of backup players.
Next and four down.
Third down.
Sorry for being emotional. I'm just pissed off about some of the things, you know, that a lot of us try and do just to practice.
Think soap opera.
We put our bodies through just to sleep at night.
Sleep.
And for that to be the result of all that effort pisses me off. Pisses a lot of guys off. Mm. And I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off, if I'm being honest.
Hey, Johnny, can you do me a favor? Can you just write me that script and then send it to me? And then we'll reenact this later.
Yes,
maybe, Mike, you could be the reporter.
Yes.
And I'll be Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And see if my acting chops can even...
I don't know.
Hold it. I don't think so. I don't think so either.
That was...
But listen, you don't... Not everybody can win a soapy.
I know.
Right? You've got the people that are really good. Like, what was the gal's name that's been on soap opera forever?
Oh, Susan Lucci.
Susan Lucci.
Yeah.
Like, there's the Susan Luccis. He is the Susan Lucci of soap opera.
That was like a cross between Nick Cage and Keanu Reeves.
Oh, right? Gosh. Could you imagine if those two got together and...
Tried to be Derek Carr?
Right. If those two got together... If those two got together and... Derek Carr would be their love child.
I don't think that's right. Possible.
But no. Yeah. Today it's possible. Like, nowadays that is completely.
Sure. Why not?
You can't. Yeah,
science.
Yeah,
it's science.
Science be damned.
It's science.
Yeah. I think we need a paternity test. I want the DNA samples
of Derek Carr.
Does he have some
Nick Cage
and Keanu Reeves in his DNA? Go.
Oh, man. Johnny didn't even wait for it. Johnny said, I got to interject here.
New York, London, Paris, Munich. Everybody talk about pop music. Yes. Yeah, good call, Johnny.
Way to go, Johnny.
Yeah,
way to
reel us back
in. Way to make an executive decision right there. Anyway, story there is that Josh McDaniels got the dreaded vote of confidence from Mark Davis.
Yeah, we move on.
We move on. Next and four down.
But we're
1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
I'd probably say it's probably the biggest win of my career. The division opponent, undefeated, their place, Monday night. Can't get much better than that.
There's your guy, Taylor Heinicke.
Did I not tell you?
Ended the perfect season for the Eagles.
Did I not tell you? I don't know. Maybe I wasn't talking to you on this.
No, you love Heinicke.
They're a different football team with that dude. And I said this. I was on a show yesterday, and people just think that, you know, the Eagles are going to blow them out. And I'm like, you watch. Like, don't put your money on the whatever that spread is.
It was like 12 points.
I was like, this is going to be a tight game. One, that defensive front. Of Washington, even without Chase, Chase Young being out, that defensive front was sweat. And Allen, there's not a better combination in football inside than Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. Those dudes are beasts.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory. We are live at the IHOP, International House of Pancakes, here in Highlands Ranch, 9565 South University Boulevard. Come on by and try out their all-new thick and fluffy French toast and sign up for their rewards program, where you start to earn rewards. You earn
Japan coins, which you could redeem for food or Xbox games and coupons and all kinds of great stuff that you can redeem when you become a rewards member here. Sign up, open your free account at ihop.com/rewards or by downloading the IHOP app. Up next, if the Broncos want to move on from Nathaniel Hackett, is his replacement on their staff, and you need to make the move sooner rather than later? That's that.
It's Talis Trainer Tuesday.
John Elway, that was a bootleg pass. We talked about the cross. And remember I said how they run those crosses on you? They run those crosses, then you jump up on those crosses, and they get that post in behind you.
Stink takes you into the classroom using the exclusive game film only the Broncos coaches have access to.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with Telus Trainer Tuesday.
Nobody breaks down the film like Mark Schlereth, and added importance this week with him calling Broncos and Raiders for Fox, so you're really, I mean, you always dive into the Broncos film, but you're really diving into it this week, and you started your preliminary research study yesterday, and it's the question that everybody wants to know out in Broncos country. When you look at the film, why is this offense struggling again week after week after week? I just got a fresh plate of food here, so the floor is yours.
Okay. So first off, let me just point to adjustments. Every week we talk about what are the adjustments. Defensively, they made those adjustments. Now I heard on the broadcast and I heard Mike Kliss talk about, hey, the Broncos adjusted to a 4-3. Respectfully, no, they didn't. They still played their 3-4 base defense, but they actually moved Draymond Jones into a defense, to outside linebacker position. So they're still playing their 3-4 principles, but they're playing it with four big guys where Draymond Jones actually played outside backer. So I understand where the broadcast looked at four downs and said, hey, man, they're playing a four down front. Yeah, they're playing a four down front, but it's not a 4-3. It's still based on their 3-4. So what they did on the defensive side of the ball, Mike, is they said, we are not letting number 22, King Henry, beat us. It's not going to happen. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to get big. We're going to play five down front on our 3-4, but one of our outside linebackers is now going to be Draymond. That will give us better edge control and more beef inside. And that's what they did, and guess what? They come away with that where Draymond Jones, or excuse me, where Draymond Jones is playing outside, but King Henry comes away with 53 yards. Like, it was an incredible. They basically said, we don't fear your passing game. We don't fear your receivers. We don't fear your quarterback. We don't fear any of that. We fear one dude. We're going to shut him down. We win this game. Now, if the offense was worth a squirt of piss, they would have won that game. But it's not. So what do we see? When you look at the film, I don't see one, like, people always talk about, hey, they got to be under center more. I've talked about that. They were on center a bunch in the second half. They still weren't. They still couldn't move the football. And so what I look at from a coaching standpoint is this group, from a coaching standpoint, is not getting it done. Because there's no continuity. There's no offense. To me, it feels like this. What's your favorite play? Okay, we'll run that. Here's my favorite play. We're going to run that. Then we're going to, and then, hey, what's your second favorite play? Okay, we'll run that. My second favorite play. Okay, we'll run that. Okay, what's your third play, favorite play? Okay, we'll run that. Okay, fourth favorite play? My third, and then your fourth, and then my fourth, and then your fifth, and then my fifth, and then your. And so you got a hodgepodge offense that, for me, you're calling, it feels like you're just calling plays. You're not calling an offense. Nothing seems to play off of something else. So my thought in offense is the difference between calling plays and calling an offense, how we balance plays, how we set things up, how we create an identity. Like, when you have an identity, and we know as an offense what we're doing, right? There's comfort in that. And if you're good, Mike, you don't care that the defense knows this is the play we have to defend. Because guess what? We're gonna execute it well. And then we're gonna build off of that. And everything is gonna be married to that. And I always talk about the difference between getting a team to play individual plays versus getting them to play scheme. So when we get you to play scheme, so if we're an outside zone heavy team, and we get you to play outside zone, outside zone, outside zone, and now we hit you with boot keep, and now we hit you with a couple of adjunct plays off the outside zone, you know what ends up happening to you? You're playing that scheme. And then when we hit you with the plays that marry to that, both in play action and in run action, you're overplaying that scheme instead of just playing, hey, I'm playing a double team. Hey, I'm playing a reach block. Hey, I'm playing this. Like, there is no rhyme nor reason. Like, again, it feels to me like you're just running plays.
So you're putting a lot of the onus, a lot of the blame on the coaching staff. Fine. 100%. Good. Okay, good. We got some clarity. Jeez. I mean, talk about something that we have been just searching for and begging for an answer. What about Russ? What about Russ?
Russ is bad.
Okay, what's Russ's role in all this?
Well, Russ has lacked accuracy. The one thing that he is consistently being good at is the deep ball. But he's not been good at the deep ball. He has missed opportunities. He has held the ball too long. And from the pocket, he just hasn't been great. He just has not been great. Now, some of it, Mike, is you're always in third down and long. And so you're running route combinations that are deeper, trying to attack the chains, right? Trying to attack that superimposed yellow line. You're trying to get your guys behind that. So a lot of the plays that are there for the taking that he just turns down are underneath routes on third down and nine. You know, you were going to throw the under on third down and nine. Well, the odds of getting it are not good. I don't care. If that's where it tells you to go, go there, and then rely on Courtland Sutton, who you paid, to break a tackle.
So Russ's biggest problem is what? He's just not seeing the field? He's missing? He just isn't seeing guys?
Well, he's passing guys up to try to get bigger plays because they're always behind the sticks. They're constantly behind the sticks. And so you're looking there from his mentality is going, well, I could complete that, but we're not getting a first down. And so you're trying to push it, and teams are just taking that stuff away from you. They know what you're trying to do. So again, because of your lack of an identity, your lack of production on first and second down, you're always behind the sticks, and you're always having to run deeper routes, and your answers, your early answers, are not going to get first downs, at least in the mind of the quarterback.
Mixing an overmatched offensive line, and you get what you get.
Yeah, and you're in trouble.
All right. Telestrator Tuesday. We'll have more of that as we move along throughout the course of the show as Mark continues to dive deep into the film. What's Trending is coming up next. Brock Huard will be joining us coming up at 7:45. We are on the road today. The Fans Breakfast Club. Join us here at the IHOP on 9565 South University Boulevard in Highlands Ranch. Invite you to come on by. Take your time in getting here, but hey, it might be a longer commute than usual, so give yourself, have a great breakfast before you head out on the road. Any purchase of $10.43 or more, you get a free order of their all-new Thick and Fluffy French Toast. Thick and Fluffy is what Mark now calls me. The Fans Breakfast Club going on right now in Highlands Ranch, 9565 South University Boulevard. Come on by. What's Trending next?
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Brock Huard will be joining us here in just a second as we are live from the Schlereth and Evans Fan Breakfast Club here at the IHOP in Highlands Ranch, 9565 South University Boulevard. Come on by. Enjoy some great breakfast. Hang out with us. Roads are, I'm looking out here on University, they look like they're clearing up a little bit, so do give yourself some extra time this morning. Brock Huard of Brock and Salk of our sister station in Seattle, Seattle Sports 710, joins us courtesy of Elite Sportsbook. Morning, Brock.
Good morning, man.
Brock, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I had to just go shovel the driveway. Yeah. I had to go shovel the driveway just as you were beginning your Telestrator Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So tell me, Mr. Mark, out of the 6 sacks and 18 hits on our boy,
right,
how many of them could he have avoided?
Well, he could avoid a lot of them, and this is a problem, and I've talked to Pete Carroll about this. If I went back in all the Seattle games I've ever done looking at the film, you know, 30-plus percent of the sacks and the hits are 100% on Russ, right? They're yep. his issues. So that hasn't changed very much. But I will say this, Brock. There's a lot of third down and long situations or a lot of those situations where, you know, there's a route that's underneath all that coverage because they're just running with guys. They're taking guys away. There's, you know, they're playing, you know, like a two-man situation, right, where they've got help over the top, but they're running underneath guys, so you can't throw the quick seams and things of that nature, or even the high-low basic combinations, you know, where you got a little arrow underneath and a basic over the top. So they're taking a lot of that stuff away, and they're forcing you, or teams are forcing Russ to throw it underneath, and he doesn't want to throw it underneath.
Right.
Like, he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to go where the play is telling him to go. And, you know, at some point, I'd like your opinion on this, being a quarterback and having been in those situations. You know, they're taking all that stuff away. Don't you just have to throw it and hope your guys that
yes.
you're paying a lot of money to
yeah.
can break a tackle and get a first down?
Yeah, because the alternative is getting hit 18 times.
Right.
And taking,
yeah.
taking a pounding. And some of those, Mark, were, I mean, they were real hits. It wasn't a glancing blow or a little love tap or a little kiss. It was I'm going to drive you into the ground. And those are the shoulder. Those are the ribs. Those are the mm-hmm. ones that those are the ones you've got to avoid. You know, John Gruden, one of the things I always enjoyed about John's when he would do the pre-draft sit-downs with the different mm-hmm. quarterbacks over the years. What I loved was how many times he reminded those guys, you have to protect yourself. It is on you. You're the quarterback. The number of times, Mark, that Tom Moore, the great Tom Moore,
right.
would sit in our meetings in Indianapolis and say, I can drop all these wonderful concepts, all these plays. And he didn't talk that fast. It was more like this. I can drop all these plays, and I can draw them up on toilet paper and wipe my butt with them if we can't protect. And it's true. If you can't protect, it doesn't matter what you try to do. And obviously, Peyton was the best at protecting himself, getting rid of the ball, avoiding hits, avoiding sacks, avoiding negative plays. And that's just yet another thing on the checklist that the Denver Broncos offense has to do.
Yeah, you know, as I look at the film, Brock, there's just so many things that I look at. And I'll just say this. You give up 6 sacks, then you suck as a coaching staff. You don't have early answers. And then you have a bunch of, you know, third string offensive linemen playing and you're running deep concepts like those. Right. That doesn't make any sense to me. But here's the issue that I get into. I want to have an identity. I want to know what we are. I want to know that in certain situations, what plays are coming in.
Yeah.
And my thought process in this as an offensive lineman is I'm better than you. And if I know what I'm doing and I never have a moment's hesitation and I know this play inside and out and we've run it a million times, and so you can give me any front you want to give me, there'll never be an ounce of confusion, and we can window dress it and we can make it look different, but the damn thing is
yep.
it's going to be run the way it's going to be run. When I watch this offense, I don't know what they are.
Yep.
I see, instead of running an offense, Brock, and this is where I want you give me some expertise. Instead of running an offense, I see a team that runs plays. Like, hey, Russ, we're going to run your favorite play here, and then we're going to run my favorite play, and then we're going to run your favorite play, and then we're going to run my favorite play, and nothing meshes. It doesn't marry. There's the play action game doesn't marry to the run game. The run game doesn't marry to the adjunct run game. Like
yeah.
nothing feels like it works in unison, and it frustrates me to watch it. You as a quarterback, how important is running an offense as opposed to running plays?
Oh, it is everything, Mark. Yeah, it's what you hang your hat on. It is so everybody in that huddle looks at you and you look at them, and you know, to your point, everybody is on the same page. There is no hesitation. And this does remind me back a little bit to the 1 year that I got bumped over to the NFL. It was a COVID year. Big 10, Pac-12 were screwing around. And I got bumped over to the NFL. And I believe I did 3 Aaron Rodgers games. And it was year 2 where they took off. And he was an MVP and everything else. But they looked back on year 1, and it was exactly that, Mark. It was, hey, here's Aaron Rodgers' place. These are my place. These are what I want to do. This is what I had success with, Mike McCarthy. And Matt LaFleur is like, well, this is my language. These are my place. This is what I want to do. And they were 2 foreign languages. And they never came together into one. That started to turn in year 2, took off, obviously, in year 3, and now it's run into a little trouble with personnel. But, yeah, that is what I find. They're like the Tower of Babel. There's all these languages, and nobody's on the same page, and nobody can understand. And it's just an immense frustration for that offense. And maybe that's a terrible analogy. I'm not sure.
Brock, you've watched Russell Wilson for a decade. You're watching him this year. We just have this growing sense of panic that this dude is washed, in your opinion. Is he? Is this stuff fixable? No. Is this going to be a happy ending here in Denver?
No, I'm not going to say that. And I've obviously been fairly critical of Russell and with you guys as well, and tried to be as transparent as I can be. I just see somebody like so many on that offense. It's in between, and it stands out that much more because your defense is not. Your defense knows exactly who they are, exactly how they want to play. Tremendous communication, right, on the details, able to make adjustments week to week, as Mark talked about earlier this hour. So it stands in just such stark contrast when you watch a group offensively that doesn't know who they are. And they're without their best lineman, they're without their best receiver, they're without their best running back, and those are all excuses and explanations, and they don't mean anything in the NFL. But you better find a way over these last 7-8 weeks to have some form of identity, to get on that same page so you are not in between. Russell right now is in between. And when you're a quarterback and you're in between, you hold the ball. And you take sacks. And you'd rather not throw interceptions. And so I don't want to be horrendous and have all these incompletions. So you know what? I'll take some of these sacks. I'll absorb some of these hits. I'll be a tough guy, which I am. But no, this is to me much more about a system failure, to Mark's point about an identity failure, and about an offense right now that is looking at one another and nobody has a definitive answer of what they want to do.
Should Nathaniel Hackett be coaching for his job this week?
I have a hard time with this one, man. You're coaching for your job. You're playing for your job every week in the NFL.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, whatever.
But this would obviously, I know, and it's Carolina the next week, right? So right. At some point this has to turn. At some point this has to change. The only challenge for the significant challenge for Hackett and the significant challenge for if you want yes to that, Mike, and I've heard others on your station say this, is because your defensive coordinator is doing his job and more. Mm-hmm. Your defensive coordinator has built an identity. Your defensive coordinator has guys on the same page. Your defensive coordinator has a group that's buttoned up. Your defensive coordinator is young. He's enthusiastic. And certainly he will be looked at by the rest of the NFL after this season and say, wow. This guy was able to work through that dysfunction there and put that kind of tape together each and every week and make those adjustments. So that is going to, I think, be the challenging part if they were to lose this weekend to a totally, completely dysfunctional Raider team. That would be the conversation in the owner's suite, in the owner's meetings, the ownership group, I should say, not owners of the NFL. But do we want to make this move and give our defensive coordinator an opportunity to see what he can do?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really interesting about that is I'm calling a game a couple of years ago, and the owner of this particular franchise makes the coaching staff play a rookie quarterback who is not ready to play. And the OC at the time is a buddy of mine who goes, what are you planning on learning in 2 games with a kid that's not ready to play, that doesn't know the offense? What are you actually going to learn as an owner about that kid? Now that kid plays somewhere else now because, you know, he went in and pooped in his helmet because he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, what were you hoping to learn? For me, if you're really high on Evero and you think this guy might be the next head coach somewhere else, how many games do you need, Brock? I mean, you're not going to find out in 2 games, are you? Don't. Nope. It's sooner the better, right?
Yep. Yes, and I, again, I think that that is probably the greatest challenge for Hackett. And you know what? Ultimately, Mark, your cameras are going to see it on Sunday. Ultimately, those 70,000 fans in the stadium are going to see it. Ultimately, the millions that are watching on TV are going to see it because this team is going to tell you. This team may just make the decision that we're going to follow that guy. That guy. That defensive coordinator, that's our guy. And this other stuff and this mess on offense, I can't follow it anymore. So if they were to lose, Mike, to your point, I'm going to have a strong eye on body language. I'm going to have a strong eye on that defensive coordinator. I'm going to have a strong eye on that group and what the locker room and what those players are telling you. Because I think at this point, at 3-5, 3-6, lose 3-7, I think they will tell you pretty clearly who they want to follow.
Brock, great job. Have a great show today. Thank you.
Okay, see you, boys.
Brock Hewitt of Brock and Salka on Seattle Sports 710, our sister station in Seattle. Join us courtesy of Elite Sportsbook.
How do you think Fox would feel about turning the broadcast towards Josh McDaniels and Nathaniel Hackett and actually not showing the plays?
Here's what they
just
should do.
The body language.
No, you know what? That's a great idea because they do that now in hockey coverage. What they'll do is they'll have the game.
Right.
And then they'll have two players that they are really focusing on, and their cameras will just focus and follow those players around. So I think it would be awesome just to have a split screen and just one corner just focused on McDaniels the whole time and one corner focused on Hackett the whole time.
Yeah,
that'd be great TV.
Like a box in box,
yes.
Right? So you've got
two boxes.
It's kind of like when Peyton Manning and Eli
yes.
Manning, their little heads are
yes.
in there going,
yes.
and then you got the game going on
I
the sideline.
I love it.
And we just have the two heads of those two coaches looking at, like, looking over their shoulder, like, where are they coming from? Where are they coming from?
Right.
Am I getting a pink slip? Is anybody direct?
What's Evero doing now?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, then we have another one with Greg Penner signing paperwork right. upstairs, you know?
Right. So three boxes.
Yeah.
It would be. It'd just be like the Manning cast. McDaniels, Hackett, and Greg Penner.
And then we got to throw in Mark Davis with a to go shoot up to the owner's box up there.
Good point.
He's got a bowl on top of his head, and they're trimming up his hair. Right? Oh, it looks like Mark Davis getting a haircut. Imagine that.
Let's talk about Evero. You wanted to come back to it earlier in the show. Here we are.
Yeah.
And if-
let me just tell you. So I'm doing a Carolina game. I'll just use the names. Who cares? All those people are gone now. And the owner comes down and says, hey, listen, I want to see what Will Grier has. So you're going to play Will Grier now. Owner coming down telling the coaches what you're going to do. You're going to play Will Grier now. And this is one of the reasons that Ron Rivera said, see ya, I'm going somewhere else. So we want you to play Will Grier. And that's the direction we're going. Well, North Turner, good buddy of mine, goes, listen, he cut me, by the way. No, he didn't cut me. He just told me I couldn't play anymore. Thanks. I got two more Super Bowl rings. So thank you, Norv. I appreciate that. But Norv and I are good friends. And Norv goes, what do you expect to learn about a rookie who's not ready to play, who didn't play in an NFL system, is not anywhere close to being ready to play? Like, you're going to learn in these last two games that he can't play. Well, of course he can't play. Could he become a player? Maybe. But he's not ready to play yet. So if you wait and say, wow, we're worried, you know, hey, Evero is getting a lot of national attention and he is making adjustments and there are, you know, you're getting play. You've missed Justin Simmons, haven't missed a beat. You've missed different guys. Josie Jewell has missed a bunch of time, haven't missed a beat. You know, I mean, you make the adjustment, make Draymond Jones play outside linebacker last week, so you get four big guys on the football field. You shut down an incredible running back like Derrick Henry. And, like, there are a lot of adjustments being made. It's great. But what are you going to learn the last two games when guys are independent contractors? What are you going to learn the last two games when guys are basically got their vacation plans? 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Like, what are you going to learn? So if you're going to make the move, don't you have to make it sooner than later?
Well, because again, you'd be talking about another first time head coach,
right?
But at least if you did it now, you'd be able to get a lot of training in for the next
right.
7-8 games.
And the other thing is, can you, like, hey, if you're completely out of it, let's say you win one more game and you get to the last two games of the season. So you've got, you know, you've got four wins and you're 4-whatever that record would be before, oh gosh. So Two games left.
And you got four wins.
You got four wins.
That would mean...
Come on now. You can do it. Four and seven would be 11. No, that's not. He's got more losses than that. Keep going.
There's 17 nine, games. No, keep going.
Four and 10 would be 14, 15, 16. Four and 11.
There you go.
You'd be 4-11.
Ding, 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 ding.
You'd be 4-11.
Give him a gold star.
Yeah! Genius.
Feel pretty good about myself right now.
Yeah, so you'd be 4-11. Like, what are you going to learn the last two games?
You're right.
So, man, and you know I have great respect and I really great respect for the coaching profession and how hard this is. But if you're making a move and you want to get a feel for who Evero is,
do it now.
You got to give him a chance to rally the troops and see what he becomes.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.